Big Black Sun, written by Sakibu Hutchinson, featuring Sidney Wayne Davis, Elvinette Piard, and Sakibu Hutchinson. It was in the humdrum dreary of driving to work east on the 10 freeway, stroking her low-fat iced mocha decaf latte, trilling to Fleetwood Mac, Lindsay, and Stevie getting it on cassette, that Miss Cheryl Ann noticed two things. The cars throttling behind her disappeared. An empty lane stretched into infinity and sunburnt brilliance. The lanes blinded her in the dented rearview mirror where the sun rose, westerly. She reached up to clean it off. A black spot that she'd never seen before was stamped on her putty, pale hand. What the fuck? And didn't the sun always rise in the east? Cut. All morning, at work, she stared at it. The black spot, growling out at her from her hand. She plucked at it over a conference call in her corner office with the dank alley view of the day-glow orange dumpster she suspected oozed radioactive waste. Killing her softly, she was certain, corroding her to the bone. In point of fact, she had reported the dumpster to OSHA, the EPA, and HR, her finger fixed to call another agency, when a second black spot loomed up, baby brother to the first one, though slightly more bulbous, more pustular, grinning. Ha ha! Joke's on her. Cut.
She had that epic skin.
Talking Tina Doll Alabaster.
Melted crayon and hot car white.
My analysis on this host is still inconclusive.
Management needs you to pick up the pace, Major.
You try mapping an alien DNA sequence with this primitive equipment.
We designed it when you were in diapers, but it can still detect trace contamination down to the last scintilla.
If something screws up...
You've got full indemnity, Major. Besides, there's more than one way to scan a cat. This galaxy fails us.
In point of fact, there are approximately 3 trillion in the observable universe. And at this precise moment, Miss Cheryl Ann was just a speck of a speck of a speck of a speck of dark matter, quivering because her whole department was about to be audited, every unit turned upside down and shaken out, held up to the light.
In point of fact, there were rumors of improprieties.
Creative accounting.
Torched protocols.
Rot straight down to the floorboards.
Cheryl Ann had been called on by upper management to ensure that their collective shit didn't stink, having recently beaten out 3 bootlicking, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed he-men from Bob Jones University. In point of fact, the department was infested with them, and Cheryl Ann was constantly looking over her shoulder, double and triple-checking her reports to make sure they hadn't been misordered or tinkered with in the fifth-floor urinal and furtively replaced with porn. She spent a good share of her workday in the asbestos-proof coroner office daydreaming about how the Bob Jones boys were plotting against her. Every mistake and misstep, an act of alpha male sabotage.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, a voice in her head whispered, "Don't be so dramatic. Keep a stiff upper lip."
Lately, she'd been hearing more things in line at the grocery store, fondling prime kale and arugula, or at the dentist having her teeth cleaned, waiting at stoplights trying not to count all the trash-laden tents and busted campers massing under the freeway overpass as she slurped down her morning chai. She'd been hearing more things, teeny voices, a little like a duet, like Stevie and Lindsay back together again, rocking a makeup sex glow. You can go your own way.
Major Tom, come in. Base command.
Affirmative.
Is the installation completed?
Affirmative. Just tying up a few loose ends.
Loose ends, Major?
Quirks, Captain. Nothing serious.
Clarify.
The host has an unreadable mutation.
Plain speak, Major.
She's a mutt.
That shouldn't impede our mission.
The intelligence said this host was purebred.
No cause for alarm. They bow down to you in corporate for your brass balls. Or are they on loan?
Quiet.
What's that?
The host is stirring.
Lumbering dullard is out of its suspended animation cycle.
Primitive.
Quite, but we don't pay you to editorialize. Now, what are your coordinates? I'm losing you.
100 degrees south.
The occipital, closer than I thought.
What they call the reptile brain.
Mouth of all evil.
Donuts. A fat, white, grease-stained box glistened in the middle of the conference room table. Outside, the purge had begun. Remote control operated street sweepers sucked up trash, odds and ends, stray bric-a-brac, and a gladiator squeal. Miss Cheryl Ann put her hands to her ears, queasy. Make it stop, she whispered, prompting the pinched faces around the long imperial conference room table to stare at her. She glanced nervously down at her hands. They had started to itch. A new spot had popped up by the first, squat and ugly on her left knuckle, near where her wedding band used to be. The ex-love of her life gone AWOL as a county bureaucrat and relentless climber, more straighter than straight. Miss White unripe rice with a special dollop of up from the ghetto angst. The first night they fucked, she chiseled into Cheryl Ann's frontal lobe, or at least that's what she suspected. Cheryl Ann woke up with no memory, fuzzy on the names of her five POC staff members, fuzzy on the calendar date. A bullhorn sounded below. She hid her hand under the table. Bob Jones' boys were finishing a PowerPoint on emergency preparedness. Earthquakes, floods, fires, cyclones, plagues, roving bird colonies chirping, ear-splitting mischief at dawn. The bullhorn sounded again. She rushed to the window, agonized as the popos crammed a woman with a Buzz Lightyear doll into the big rig. Stop this! Someone has got to stop this! She shrieked. In reality, she remained seated at the table, hands ever sweatier in her lap, trying not to scratch, not to look down. They were all staring at her intently. Need a nap? Meds? Warm milk?
Major, Major, come in.
Yes?
What are your coordinates?
You tell me.
Now, you've been MIA for the past 20 minutes. Clock's ticking. Wouldn't want you to go stir crazy out there all by your lonesome.
You and she were in my dreams last night.
She?
The host.
Fascinating. Ever wonder how bad shit's always called she? Hurricanes, storms, sinking ships.
She... It was trying to tell me something. That's when I woke up.
We have to accelerate the mission.
Above my pay grade.
We're giving you a bonus.
Need to see that in writing.
Look, I got people to move. Management's banking on your crack recognizance skills.
This one's more difficult to gain a foothold in.
That's why we hired you, Major. Your last two missions had base command coming in fountains. Whoops, perish my potty mouth. Now you have you prepared the injection site?
Yes.
Sterilized it?
Yes.
Checked for beta antagonists?
This is a dead host, just as we projected.
Tarnation, what are you waiting for then?
The
advance guard is trained, packed, suited, booted, hungry, and raring to go. If you don't make this caucasoid motherfucker habitable in 24 hours, our stock goes to shit. Plus, you'll have blood on your hands.
It won't be any thicker than on yours.
How many more pilgrims can we settle on this colony?
A few thousand under ideal conditions. This is the seventh solo mission I've flown.
We know your credentials, Major. We know everything about your story career, every intimate blip and deviation too. The brainwave modifiers that you zap into that hyperactive frontal lobe of yours, the chills, night sweats, seizures, suicidal ideations, masturbatory marathons, little deaths, they used to call them, yummy but immaterial, dear major, to the critical task at hand.
You
take pleasure in this.
In what?
In keeping the lives of our pilgrims hanging in the balance.
Shh.
We're hearing voices again.
The native and alien combatants are having some kind of dispute. Can you decipher?
Translating that primitive backwash is a waste.
I can't hear.
You're officially insubordinate, dear Major.
The host isn't genetically pure. It's a glorified mutt.
By what percentage?
20 to 30, according to the censors.
Proceed.
That's above the threshold for survival.
Proceed.
Only half the population will be able to breathe in that atmosphere.
The order is to proceed.
Butcher.
Pragmatist. Our cost-benefit analysis says that this is a calculated risk. We move decisively on this colony, or we leave thousands behind to die in the old one.
Carol Ann jolted awake. There were muffled sounds on the other side of the wall in the apartment next door. Bumping, pleading, thudding. A man's voice whining in a wet cat fever pitch. He was being dragged through the hallway, pajamas dripping, leaving a steamy trail. She squinted, then listened at her peephole, hand on the doorknob, paralyzed on whether she should call out, let them know she'd seen. The spots had begun to march up her knuckles in a muddy water splotch, itching, keeping her bug-eyed and awake in the middle of the night. The man was screaming. Could he make one last call? Could he get a phone number from his apartment? Prescriptions, eyeglasses, a picture of his daughter, government ID. A voice offered him cyanide. A lemony breeze wafted through the hallway. It went quiet. Behind every wall, at every peephole, tenants listened, watched, drank, chattered, levitated in suspense. Cheryl Ann could just make out the backs of the man's hands, dark splotches mottling his milky white mitts. She waited to see if someone would run out to help him, but the hallway was still. Then slow, lapsing into the clatter of dishes and screeching children, the mosquito buzz of the evening news. Cheryl Ann waited for mention of the sun rising in the west, but the 6 o'clock drones burbled sports and serial murder, bog water traffic, puppy rescues. She turned it off, nibbled at a chunk of tuna casserole in the fridge, her body going slack, as though a fat hypodermic needle had horse tranquilized her brain. A knock sounded. Teeny tiny. A stillbirth's fist. They'd come for her. A posse with clipboards speaking in tongues, blood grubbing, taking inventory of every utterance, secretion, and cell transmission in the geologic flea fart of her 55 Earth years. She staggered to the bathroom and took an Alka-Seltzer. Her face imploding into a pink, doughy blob in the mirror. Was it hers? Or a piece of shrapnel sculpted into eyes, a lying mouth? The Pantene blonde hair that she worked so hard to keep free of shit brown roots, making a radioactive cloud around her head. Wait, what was that now? Voices roared between her ears. A tower of Babel, spitting gibberish, save for one phrase, ground control.
Job well done, Major.
The host will only be habitable for a year, tops.
That just means we'll have to start prospecting again real soon. Best not to leave, let the masses get too cozy, and we certainly can't let them breed and overpopulate like before, given that we're in mutt blood territory. And as I said, you'll be well compensated. We're developing new instruments to detect, sniff out, if you will, blood levels with more precision.
That's what management said last time.
It's an inexact science, dear Major. There are billions of species ripe for the plucking if we get our data right. We're just a heartbeat away from perfectibility.
Perfectibility? That's a lie. How did this host get chosen?
purity. All the messaging that we received indicated that this specimen was a top breed, uncontaminated, a soft landing for our mission. The phenotype was right, but nothing is 100% in the known universe.
I'll go to the ministry to testify.
I'm sorry, but it appears that you've been relieved of your duties. Thank you for your service, Major.
Carol Ann jolted awake. How long has she been sleeping? Her ears throbbed with a buzzing sound. Bees again, or? The room had started to come into focus. A halogen light fluttered overhead. Past it, the dim outline of a postage stamp-sized window with bars. She was in a cell overlooking a field. Poppies, daffodils, a knot of human limbs waving up at her. She looked down at her hands. The spots had merged, a growth crackling across her forearm. She jumped up, slamming against the door, pounding on the bars as the row of orderlies walked past, wheeling white bodies on stretchers, their two-tone arms dragging against the ground. One of the bodies popped up, moaning. A county work badge dangled from its damp hospital gown. The orderly grunted and pushed it back down on the stretcher, wheeling it west, its slate blue eyes staring blind into the big black sun. Big Black Sun is part of the Sleep Dystopias podcast, written and produced by Sakibu Hutchinson, featuring Sydney Wayne Davis, Elvinette Piard, and Sakibu Hutchinson. Pleasant dreams.